This is the voice of DC cab drivers, brought to you Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. by Dominion of Cab Drivers here on WUST 1120 AM. You can download and listen to past programs at thefightback.org.
A few months ago, you asked us to form an association. We have formed one association. The name is Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Join that association. We don't need another one. If we join, everybody joins our association, we'll be successful.
I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org. In Prince George's, the county council is considering undoing legislation that has been in effect for only 6 months and was passed into law just a year ago. Last year's legislation, CB 36, gives medallions directly to individual taxicab drivers instead of to the few companies that dominate the industry. The Washington Post noted of last year's CB 36, it ordered the county to issue 400 new medallions to independent drivers and add more in the next few years, depending on how the system was working. But now, with only 254 medallions given to independent drivers, the county council is considering CB 3, legislation that would stop the remaining 146 medallions from being issued. What's more, CB3 allows individuals to sell medallions to cab companies, allowing companies to control as much as 75% of the market, writes Prince George's County Council member Mary Lehman in today's Washington Post. In a must-read piece, Lehman writes, in an effort to create economic opportunity for individual taxi drivers and bring balance to an industry long monopolized by a handful of companies, last July, the Prince George's County Council unanimously adopted a bill to increase the number of taxi licenses. Before the 2010 law was passed, the county had not amended the taxicab code for more than a decade. Yet just 1 year later, a new council stands poised to repeal the law, with action possible as soon as Tuesday's council meeting. The push for repeal is unwarranted and premature, and it would return Prince George's to an unfair market that gives cab companies the upper hand and exploits independent drivers. District 1 Councilmember Lehman continues, this is a classic David versus Goliath struggle. On one side are the taxi companies with their heavyweight attorney, former county executive Wayne Curry. On the other side are the independent drivers, many of whom are immigrants and want what all Americans want, to make a decent living and provide for their families. This is a subject I care deeply about, writes Lehman. My late father, Richard Hensel, provided for our family of eight by supplementing his D.C. firefighter salary as a taxi driver for Diamond Cab in the district. After a heart condition forced him into early retirement from the fire department, he drove full-time for more than 20 years. It was good, honest work, but the hours were long and we saw little of him because, when he was not driving, he was catching up on sleep. In Prince George's County, what has stood between independent drivers and economic security is a system that is reminiscent of the sharecropper system in the Old South, in which poor white and black farmers could never get ahead. While cab companies pay the county $200 per year per licensed vehicle, drivers who affiliate with those companies pay a staggering $335 per week, or about 50% of their earnings, to essentially rent the license from the corporate holder. The 2000 law corrected that imbalance by allowing more permits for independent drivers via lottery system. Alarmed by the prospect of losing their stranglehold on the market, cab companies filed suit against the county in the fall, but the plaintiffs withdrew their complaint, knowing they would not win in court. Instead, they persuaded County Councilmember Will Campos to sponsor legislation to repeal the law. Councilmember Mary Lehman finishes with these words, "Above all, this debate is one of social and economic justice. These independent drivers are the working poor. They are a fiercely proud bunch, not looking for a government handout, but a level playing field on which they can compete fairly." County Executive Rashern Baker, who is mostly supportive of the legislation, says he wants to take Prince George's from good to great. "We will never reach that destination as long as the county sanctions the kind of gross economic disparity that the Campos legislation would perpetuate. If Baker is sincere in his desire to take the county in a new direction, he should send a clear signal to the council that this bill goes too far and should be rejected." Those the words of Prince George's County Councilmember Mary Lehman, writing in today's Sunday Washington Post. June 21st, the Prince George's County Council held a hearing on CB3. Testifying against the legislation were drivers and their allies, including members of the interfaith social justice group PRISM, or Partners for Renewal in Southern and Central Maryland. Father Columban Crotty, a PRISM member and pastor of St. Margaret's of Scotland Catholic Church, said last year's legislation should be left alone because it allows taxicab drivers the opportunity to be independent from the three individuals that monopolized the industry.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the Council. My name is Father Colum McCrarty, and I'm the pastor of St. Margaret's of Scotland Catholic Church in 408 Addison Road, located in Councilman Toll's District 7. I am also a member of the sponsoring committee for the Partnership for Renewal in Southern and Central Maryland called PRISM. I come here today to speak on behalf of the Taxi Workers Alliance Group. I first would like to talk about the importance of competition. The current law offers a level playing field for competition in the taxicab industry. It allows taxicab drivers the opportunity to be independent from the three individuals who monopolize the industry. It also forces the companies to improve the quality of services to the public. Second, and most importantly, the current law creates an independence from the harsh taxicab industry standards created by the present individual owners. Taxicab companies charge exorbitant fees to cab drivers, $330 a week, as you've just heard, forcing the individuals to pay over $17,000 each year. The average taxi driver makes about $32,000 annual income, and we feel that this is an injustice to the taxicab worker. Lastly, on April 4th, PRISM held a public action meeting asking Acting Director Samuel Wycoop to work with Taxi Worker Alliance to resolve the process of obtaining a medallion for those who applied. There were many excuses to why the Department of Environmental Resources could not meet the request of the applicants. The taxicab industry has many injustices that need to be prevented. Prevention begins here at the county level. I encourage every council member to say no to injustice by voting no to CB3. I appreciate your time and thank you.
That was Father Colum McCrarty, a member of the interfaith social justice group PRISM, testifying before the Prince George's County Council. The council is considering undoing legislation that provides medallions directly to independent drivers instead of to the few big companies that dominate the county's taxi industry. The Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance has led the way in organizing drivers. Later in the program, we'll be joined in studio by one of the group's leaders, Getachew Mengesha. We'll discuss CB3 with Mengesha, which may be voted on as early as this coming Tuesday. In the District of Columbia, calls for the elimination of the Taxicab Commission are growing. June 22nd, the D.C. Taxicab Commission held a public meeting at the U.S. Park Police Headquarters in Anacostia Park. Two reporters, myself and Jim Epstein of Reason TV, were arrested by park police officers, apparently on the order of the Taxicab Commission. Epstein's video of the arrest has gone viral, touching off a firestorm of criticism and calls for the elimination of the Taxicab Commission. But the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxicab Drivers has called for the Taxicab Commission to be reformed, not eliminated. Carolyn Robinson, board member of the Small Business Association, discussed the importance of keeping alive the beleaguered Taxicab Commission.
The reason there should be a taxicab commission or one should stay in existence is because basically it's the only vehicle that public service vehicle operators have to even address any concerns regarding the industry. Prior to 1985, when the Taxicab Establishment Act was initiated, it was for a group or a dichotomy of people so we can express our concerns, what's going on with the industry. If this vehicle is abolished, then we won't be able to have any stand in the arena. We won't be able to address city council. We won't be able to address Congress. We won't be able to even address the riding public because there will be no vehicle. Years ago, when Dan Tangalini was the director of the Department of Transportation, they attempted to close the taxicab commission and have a taxicab czar. And thank goodness, a lot of us, of course, including me, went down to city council and testified and opposed to this new created entity that they wanted to do. And we're still in existence. There are a lot of things that may be, first of all, the Taxicab Commission isn't following rules and regulations. But that does not mean that it shouldn't be in existence. What it means is they need the proper people. You need a regulator or someone who has an idea of the industry to take care of the need, not just political ploys or friends of the administration. This is the problem with the industry. So commissioners have no general interest in taxicab business. This is just something, I guess, to put on their resume, or one of the political appointees, because the mayor has jurisdiction over that, so that he can just select some of his friends to be on a commission. And that's where all the faults lie. Presently, there are two people on the commission, Mr. Burns and Scott Kubley, who are Department of Transportation employees, which technically should be a conflict of interest, because Kubley is more concerned with the streetcars and the cyclists. He's in charge of those two programs, which really is not only an insult, but it's a problem. And the other two, the Hotel Association and the Restaurant Association, Mr. Cohen and Mr. Bert Lassner, they are not concerned. And it's obvious that there is no concern because the commission can't get a quorum.
Explain that. They can't get a quorum.
Yes, they can't. But yeah, because usually this is the reason that they don't hold the meetings, because they don't have a quorum. And that's not good. They only have to meet once a month. They should have enough dedication to want to meet and be concerned about the industry. Because after all, the people that go to restaurants need taxicabs. The people also that go to hotels need taxicabs. And both of their employees ride in taxicabs. So they should have a genuine interest in the industry.
That was Carolyn Robinson, member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. Friday, in an extended conversation with Bruce DePoit on News Channel 8's News Talk, Mayor Vincent Gray discussed a number of taxi issues, including medallions, the recent arrests, and the future of the Taxi Cab Commission.
I'd like to ask you about the Taxi Cab Commission. Several issues for us to discuss there, and journalist prerogative. I'm going to ask first about the arrest of two journalists who say they were just trying to cover a public meeting, and they were handcuffed and led away. And this, led to a certain level of concern about the openness of this particular panel.
Well, first of all, I know about one, and it was not, it was not us that arrested. You know, it was the park police that actually arrested this person and took him away. So, and the Attorney General immediately said, we're not pressing charges against anybody. I think you know, Bruce, from having worked with me as a council member, as a council chair, and now as mayor, I heartily support openness. And we've created as much of an open environment as possible, frankly. And there was no reason for anybody to be excluded from that. With respect to the Taxi Cab Commission itself, I've worked hard with the drivers, and we will continue to do that. We removed the $19 cap that was imposed upon fares, no matter where they went, inside and outside the city, which seemed unreasonable to me. We are working to try to create a better experience for the drivers here in the city. At the same time, as one might expect, we're going to increase the accountability so that we are sure we have a taxi cab industry that represents what we want it to represent. For many people, it is the front end of their experience in the District of Columbia, and frankly, maybe their only experience in the District of Columbia. They are a part of the hospitality industry in this city, and we want to have the best taxi cab industry we possibly can. And maybe the best in the nation if we can get to that point.
The commission has been described as dysfunctional, and in the wake of the arrests, some are saying, why do we have this particular body? Maybe we can take its functions and regroup them somewhere else.
Well, that certainly is a consideration. I've looked at that also, and we're continuing to look at that. We looked at, I think, San Francisco, for example, has the taxi cab regulatory function within its Department of Transportation there. So we're looking at options. What we want at the end of the day is the best possible way of regulating an industry that needs to be regulated. We have an acting director there. We're looking for a permanent director. We're engaged in interviews now with people who are being considered to do that, because whether there's a commission or not, there has to be somebody who is leading the effort.
When Mark Seagraves went to the commission offices, a reporter here at Channel 7 and for WTOP, when he and a camera crew went to the commission to follow up on the arrest of the two reporters, security met them, pushed them out, and in a kind of a bizarre move, I think you'll potentially agree, they locked the door to a public office in the middle of the business day and turned off the lights, as if we wouldn't still know they weren't in there somehow. That doesn't strike me as, well, I won't opine. Your thoughts on that?
That is highly unusual, and that's something that I would condone, Bruce. We want to have an open environment. And if there's a meeting going on, and it is within the Open Meetings Act in the District of Columbia, it will be, should be, and will be conducted within the parameters of what the Act calls for.
Do you have a view on the medallion proposal?
Well, it was introduced in the council. I'm not a supporter of medallions because it will substantially limit the number of people who then can drive taxis. And one of the things that has been of concern to me was the fact that many of the drivers' income was reduced. And that's one of the reasons why we have moved to we've moved forward now with this rate study examination. We think that there are reasons why, compelling reasons why, the rates should be modified. When we shifted from the zone system, which I think everybody agreed was almost impossible to understand, we went to meters. But the meters were calibrated in such a way that had the effect of reducing the income of the drivers. That should not have been a motivation on the part of anyone. For many of the drivers, that is their only income. And we should recognize that they deserve the right to make a living just like anybody else.
Meters should have been about fairness and accuracy, not crunching anyone's income.
That's exactly right, Bruce. And there's some drivers who lost as much as 30% to 40% of their income. And it really has had a major negative impact on their livelihood.
That was Mayor Vincent Gray appearing on News Channel 8's News Talk with Bruce DePoit. Ward 6 Council Member Tommy Wells, Chair of the Committee on Public Works and Transportation, has oversight of the Taxicab Commission. Speaking to Harry Jaffe, the examiner, Wells said, "I don't know if the commission ever worked. Do we need one? I'm looking at an overhaul, and what happened the other day with the arrest proves the need even more," Wells said. Jaffe's column is entitled, "DC Taxicab Commissions Puts Itself Out of Commission." June 24th on WAMU's The Politics Hour, resident political analyst Tom Sherwood of NBC4 discussed Wells' interest in eliminating the Taxicab Commission.
The Cab Commission, Tommy Wells, a council member who oversees it, he's going to discuss this summer to abolish it and just put it inside the Department of Transportation. It's a dysfunctional agency, and it disrespects the right of reporters to be in the room.
Later in the program, Sherwood once again touched on Wells' interest in eliminating the Taxicab Commission.
Whether it's African Americans who are passed by for the white person standing on the next corner, or the person who wants to go to Bethesda and is told to get out of the cab, or not going to Bethesda. I mean, the cab enforcement issues are just not there. And I think that's why Tommy Wells has said over the summer he's going to seriously look at how maybe we should abolish the cab commission and put it into a regulatory structure much more like DCRA. And maybe there's going to be more accountable.
Ward 2 Councilmember Jack Evans, appearing on News Channel 8's News Talk with Bruce DePoit, also discussed the possible elimination of the Taxicab Commission.
How would you characterize the functioning of the Taxicab Commission? Is this a smooth functioning
body? Well, it's had its ups and downs over the years. I mean, when Mr. Leon Swain ran it, it did okay. So he was good. In the past, you've had some other people who haven't been quite as good or in the present. And so I guess the real question is, what does the Taxicab Commission do? And are they a useful function in today's world? Or should that be incorporated into some other body? And I think Tommy Wells, who has jurisdiction over that, is going to take a look at that.
That was Ward 2 Councilmember Jack Evans appearing on News Talk with Bruce DePoit. In a recent piece entitled Fix the Taxi Commission or Abolish It, David Alpert, editor-at-large of Greater Washington, writes, "The D.C. Taxicab Commission has a problem dealing with reporters, but that's far from the only problem with the commission. Does it need reform, or should it be abolished entirely?" Alpert continues, perhaps instead of a taxi commission, the agency should report to the mayor like most other agencies. In fact, two current taxi commission members are also District Department of Transportation employees, Scott Kubley and Ralph Barnes, who are from the division overseeing the circulator, streetcars, and Capital Bike Share. If the mayor wants administration officials setting taxi policy, they could simply set it directly, writes Greater Washington's David Alpert, who will be joining us next week here on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers to discuss the future of the Taxicab Commission. Responding to calls to eliminate the Taxicab Commission, Haminat Bizuayu, board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxicab Drivers, said last week, "It is obvious that the Taxicab Commission has a problem at the moment and is in need of reform, but I do not believe that abolishing the commission is the answer to the problem." The 1985 Taxicab Commission Establishment Act calls for three industry representatives to be on the commission. Presently, there are none. Appearing on News Talk with Bruce DuPoit on Tuesday, I raised the issue of the lack of driver representation on the commission and discussed the possibility that the elimination of the Taxicab Commission could further disenfranchise drivers.
Tell us a little bit about what was happening in terms of your wanting to put a microphone in a position where it could record the statements made, just like all of us do at all of the meetings that are held, and why, in a broader sense, they seem so crazed about garden variety scrutiny that every city council, town council, county council, state legislature, Congress, you name it, they get it. Why are they so freaked about being recorded?
Well, why are they so? Because the agenda that's being carried out by the Taxicab Commission, let me give you a sense. I think this is emblematic of what's going on here. There's supposed to be three, according to the 1985 Taxicab Commission Establishment Act, there's supposed to be three industry representatives on the commission. Presently, there are none. Drivers are excluded from the political process. Decisions are not made with drivers, but done to drivers. And so if this is what is being carried out, then having a microphone, having video of what is taking place, it doesn't reflect well. And so I think that is part and parcel to kind of the angst that the hack inspectors telling people you can't record, to, you know, the interim chair putting up, we've talked about this a month or two ago here on News Talk, putting a sign up, posted on the DC Taxi Commission wall saying, you know, no recording. I think it really has to do with what is being done to drivers.
Drivers have been described as a fairly potent political force in the city, with donations to candidates. They've got all those cars on the road. So like last year when they got behind Vince Gray, they were able to say, you know, Gray for mayor with those bumper stickers. Are they really so out of it in terms of their ability to sway policy?
At the moment, they still are. And I don't think that hopefully will be much longer. But, you know, think about it. There's a commission which oversees the industry. Imagine if it was any other industry, hotel industry. Not a single person from the hotel industry on the commission that oversees it. No, that would not be acceptable. But here you have the Taxicab Commission. The law calls for three industry reps to be on it. None. And what concerns
And in your view, that should be probably a mix of owners and drivers?
Yeah, I mean, if you want my view, I think it should be that for drivers that have been left out for so long, it should be at least three drivers. But yes, the law says industry reps. So
and who's to blame for this? Who's to blame or to hold accountable for the lack of industry reps on the commission as the law, you say, requires?
Well, this was carried out, I don't know how far back it goes, but certainly during the Fenty administration when I started covering it.
And now the Gray administration?
And now Mayor Gray has a real opportunity. There's three openings, and the law calls for three industry reps.
And you think should he have filled them by now?
And he can do so now. He can take the step right now. One thing that really concerns me, Bruce, is that some of the calls that happened, Wednesday was the arrest. On Thursday, you started hearing calls for the abolition, the elimination of the Taxicab Commission. But this follows the same pattern of behavior, whereby instead of consulting with drivers, people are, with haste, making serious reforms to the industry without any consultation with drivers. And the problem with the elimination of the Taxicab Commission is that then it would be folded into something much larger, and drivers would have no chance of having their voices heard. And that's the problem. Drivers have been left out of the political process. The solution is to bring them into the political process, not to continue to make changes in the name of the industry without even talking to drivers. Here's another clip from Tuesday's News Talk with Bruce DuPoit on News Channel 8. Again, my only concern now is that with this reporting, there seems to be growing calls to eliminate the Taxi Cab Commission. That's not what the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers, which represents some 4,000 drivers, that's not what they're calling for. They're saying the Taxi Cab Commission needs to stay, it needs to follow the 1985 law, and there needs to be driver reps on it.
I only have 90 seconds left. The comment about, well, you don't know, when you get a cab in the district, it's like a third world bazaar, you never know what you're going to get. Is there a kind of a class or cultural snobbism or something going on here where they just, you know, it's like they're treating these people, these hardworking men and women, with the back of their hand?
Bruce, you cannot explain the lack of being brought into the political process without talking about xenophobia. The fact that a lot of the drivers come from other parts of the world and are, as you're saying, are working incredibly hard. I mean, and doing so at the lowest rates in the country, $1.50 per mile, which makes them have to work incredibly long hours. It's not good for us as a public. And yes, the only thing we can't keep doing is saying, you know, what we need from drivers. We also have to ask drivers what they're going through.
That was from Tuesday's News Talk with Bruce DePoit. Following the lead of the Pleasant Plains Civic Association and the ANC 1B Transportation Committee, the D.C. Federation of Civic Associations recently passed a resolution in opposition to the Medallion Bill. The Federation consists of some 40 different civic organizations. Thursday, Robert Vincent Branham, president of the D.C. Federation of Civic Associations, discussed the resolution.
The issue was discussed, and following the discussion, the Assembly voted to oppose the current taxicab medallion legislation that is presently being considered by the Council of the District of Columbia.
It was a unanimous vote, if I'm not mistaken.
It was a. It was not a unanimous. There were several delegates that, that abstained from voting.
Can you briefly describe what the Federation of Civic Associations is?
Well, the D.C. Federation of Civic Association is a membership organization of neighborhood civic associations in Washington, D.C., and they elect their delegates to federation to vote on issues and to talk about issues and to share concerns across neighborhoods, across communities that impact all of the District of Columbia.
What do you think the significance of the resolution is?
Well, the significance is that the community-based organizations, civic associations, that the average citizens that are very active in their neighborhoods and in their communities and have ongoing contacts with the members of the council discuss this issue and in an open meeting at the Wilson Building, as a matter of fact, and decided that this particular legislation was not in the best interest of the residents of the District of Columbia, and that it would have a negative impact on local entrepreneurs, taxi cab drivers, and that it would also have a negative impact on the passengers, particularly African-American passengers, to be to get picked up when they need a cab, because it would reduce significantly the number of available cabs and also raise the cost of the getting in to the business of being a taxi cab driver.
Any final thoughts you care to share?
Well, the Federation member assembly voted, and hopefully the Council of District of Columbia will give the views of the Federation great weight and in its deliberations and reconsider the legislation and improve the legislation. The Federation did not say that the taxi cab industry did not need to be reformed. The part of the resolution stated that the taxi cab industry in the district needed to be reformed, that there were improvements that had to be made, but that this particular legislation did not move it in the direction that the Assembly thought would be in the best interest of taxi cab drivers and also the people of the District of Columbia.
That was Robert Vincent Branham, president of the D.C. Federation of Civic Associations, which recently passed a resolution in opposition to the Medallion Bill.
I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org. This is the voice of D.C. cab drivers here on WST 1120 AM, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers, a member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. The Small Business Association consists of the following driver-owned cab companies and associations: Allied, Ambassador, Black Pearl, Camel, D.C. Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association, Dominion, Grand, Luxury, Pleasant, Seasons, Swift, Travelers, UCC, Washingtonian, Welcome, and Wonder Cab. For those interested in becoming a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, you can find out more information at any of the driver-owned companies such as UCC, Luxury, and Grand that make up the association. Ermias Wosenu, a board member of the Small Business Association, organizes the popular Saturday night Amharic phone conference. For those speaking Amharic, every Saturday night from 9 to 11 p.m., you can learn about the latest issues facing D.C. taxi cab drivers. The number for the toll-free conference is 712-432-3100, 712-432-3100, and the code is 140-465. The code is 140-465. Starting tomorrow at thefightback.org, all this information will be posted, so if you missed any of it, don't worry, you can get it tomorrow at thefightback.org. In this morning's Sunday Washington Post, just above Councilmember Lehman's excellent piece, local labor journalist Brian Tierney has a piece entitled "The War on DC Taxi Drivers." Last week, we interviewed Tierney here on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers.
Well, I think it's interesting just to see the way that that this sort of attack on drivers is playing out, and it's not gotten a lot of attention. I don't think a lot of people even locally know a lot about it. But I mean, when you look at what they're actually considering doing, what the impact of the medallion system is. And that in effect it's actually going to empower and enrich a small group of wealthy, you know, cab company owners at the expense of, you know, thousands of jobs. I mean, when I talk about the general unemployment, you know, and the issue in this country, you know, like sort of trying to make that connection, I mean, you really have like sort of like a microcosm of in the cab industry here in D.C. of what we're seeing, you know, nationally in a much smaller sense. You're seeing the, you know, basically government, you know, stepping in, you know, in this case to help out, you know, those who really don't need the helping out, you know, to basically empower. I mean, you look at, you can make, maybe draw the connection with, like, you know, bank bailouts and things like that, you know, which, you know, a lack of any sort of jobs program in this country. You know, you can see where the priorities are, and that it's really focused on, it's not focused on people's welfare, working people, helping people get on their, stay on their feet, get back on their feet. It's really focused on, you know, basically maintaining the, you know, the wealth and privilege of certain people who have obviously a much larger say in, you know, whether it's, you know, in this case, you know, local government. They have friends on the council, and they, you know, they, you know, they're basically able to pull some strings, and you know, and that's where the priorities are driven from. So this whole, you know, situation with the DC cab drivers, I think, really is kind of like a representative of a much larger thing happening throughout the country, which is why I kind of ended on that note, because I think it really speaks to a much larger dynamic happening in this country that really is not going to end in any other way without the people who are being, you know, who are at the bearing the brunt of these kinds of attacks on working people to actually come together and organize and fight back against these attacks.
That was Brian Tierney, a local labor journalist. We spoke last week, and in today's Sunday Washington Post, he has a piece entitled "The War on DC Taxi Drivers." This is the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers, a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org. And before we turn to Getachew Mangesha, who joins us here in studio, a member of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance, Ali Thomas. Ali, I wanted to get your thoughts on these growing calls that we've seen for the elimination of the taxicab commission. It started just following Wednesday, June 22nd, were the arrests. And the day after, we started hearing calls for the elimination of the taxicab commission. I wanted to, first of all, welcome and your thoughts.
Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to wish everybody a happy 4th of July. It's coming up tomorrow. But that calling for dismantle and getting rid of taxicab commission, in my opinion, is misguided. They need to strengthen the taxicab commission rather than abolishing and getting rid of it. Because it's important for this commission to be there, and it is important for it to have the three representatives that is required by law of the industry members, the drivers mainly, to sit there and make a wise decision and reform the taxicab industry. Do we need reform in the taxicab industry in D.C.? We definitely do. But, you know, abolishing the taxicab commission and getting rid of it and giving it to the decision-maker part to a few people, I think that's misguided. I think that should not take place. I believe the commission can do a good job if they put proper people to be there to work. The chairman of the taxicab commission needs to be someone who understands the taxicab industry rather than just anyone who's got a law degree. And that's why it requires three people from the industry to sit there and be part of the decision-making. Unfortunately, they have kicked all the drivers out of the commission, and they're making these silly rules and regulations that's harmful, not only to the drivers, but at the end, it is hurting the public.
Ali, I'm really excited to have you here as we talk with Getachew Mangesha. And it's interesting because in D.C., drivers have been worked so hard to fight off this medallion bill. And he even heard Mayor Gray come out against it. And that's the result of the organizing that has been so pervasive amongst drivers, working so hard, talking to passengers. But with regards to Prince George's County, a medallion system has already been implemented. And so what they're fighting for is to get some of those medallions away from the several players that dominate that industry. And so it's interesting to see D.C., Prince George's County, two very different scenarios. But nevertheless, we are talking about, you know, basic justice for drivers.
Well, and that's what we've been asking for. I mean, personally, I have been involved in this struggle for the last 3 years. And we are asking for justice. The Prince George's County drivers, unfortunately, they are fighting the uphill battle of getting some of that piece of pie that, you know, the companies have taken away from the hardworking drivers. In D.C., unfortunately, the lawmakers, the people who are supposed to protect the law, are favoring the companies and trying to pass these medallion bills where it's going to hurt the driver and it's going to hurt the public because the public has to pay, at the end, the public has to pay the price.
Getachew Mangesha, welcome to the Voice of DC Cab Drivers. As a member of the Prince George's Taxi Workers Alliance, lay out, if you will, talk about CB36. This was a legislation that was passed a year ago that was an incredibly hard-won piece of legislation. I was at the county council when it passed, and you and, gosh, I don't know how many drivers there were poured out of the chamber. There were tears coming down your cheek, and that was because this industry that has been so tightly controlled, it appeared would be broken up and some drivers would get medallions. Now, a year later, 254 of those 390 medallions have been issued. The remaining 136 are in jeopardy with this legislation for CB3 introduced by Will Campos, Prince George's County Council member. But take us a moment and really lay out what's going on in Prince George's County. And again, thanks so much for coming all the way here in Falls Church. I know it's a long drive, and you've got a lot going on with the possible vote as early as Tuesday. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. to begin with CB 36, that legislative is really comprehensive legislation, both to the companies, drivers, and the public. When I say this legislative gives drivers economic justice, because in the legislative we were allowed to get 390 medallion right away October 1st, but because of the lawsuit it was delayed and we started applying November, and then they did not give us the whole medallion that's allowed in CB 36. They just gave us, as you mentioned, 254, because the people who evaluate their application are extremely pro company, and they are also licensing office. I'm not sure even if they are qualified to evaluate that. At the beginning, we were told to monitor, but they just keep us in the dark. And another benefit of CB 36 is it gives a competition, which is best way for the industry to fix the problem, and also that's the best way to provide better service to the public. And also, before this CB 36, the companies just monopolizing the medallion, and they just corrupting anyone that gives them this chance. And I think CB 36 is the best transition to cut and stop the corruption. When it comes to CB 3, really it is taking us back to company slavery, where we used to pay $330 a week, $17,000 in a year, which is more than 50% of our earning. And the bill even did not follow what was mentioned in the in the CB 36. CB 36 was giving a chance for evaluation after the implementation, but they just jumped on before the implementation to preparing a bill which is taking away the medallion that are allowed to give to the drivers. Now, our big concern is now the sponsor, Willie Campus, and amendment was made by the county executive, Rauschenberger, and the company lawyer, who was a previous executive, Wayne Carey. This is really complicates the separation of power in the government, and also check and balance in the government, because legislative is the one who has to do their job separately, and the executive has to do his job separately. Now it's completely mixed up. Wayne Carey is the one who started opening up corruption to the company, and block the driver's chance to getting medallion. Now, I think the main problem is the Wayne Carey and the executive, because they have the power to stop, because the county is now, we are being confused who is leading the county. The Russian Becker says he's going to move forward, but we see Wayne Carey is pulling the counties, especially the tax industry, backward. So it looks like when we had Bush Jr. President, when his major main staffs are being staffed by his senior, his father, it is confusing. Now, major staff are staffed by Wayne Carey. So it is Becker Carey, county executive office. So even there is no transparency, because the board is not functioning. It is dysfunctional.
The taxi board.
Yeah, taxi board is dysfunctional. I agree what council member Mary Lemon said. this is really an unacceptable way of taking the drivers back to slavery position.
One of the things she said was that, quoting from this today's Washington Post piece, Why Prince George's Needs More Taxi Licenses by Councilmember Mary Lehman, she writes, most significant, the bill allows, this is CB3, which is the new bill, not CB36, last year's bill, which you worked so hard to push through. And we're also going to play a clip from Thomas Dernoga. Tom Dernoga was the council chair at the time. It was a unanimous vote in favor of these 390 medallions going directly to drivers with the possibility of more, and CB3 will undo that. Councilmember Lehman writes, most significant, the bill allows individuals to sell medallions to cab companies, allowing companies to control as much as 75% of the market. So in addition to just stopping the medallions that could go to drivers to break up, this monopolization potentially of the market, the medallions that are out there, this bill further allows them to be consolidated into a very few hands.
Right. That's absolutely, that's a strategy they moving. In the bill, the main part is to stop giving any medallion to the driver, and the second part is to give the line share to the companies. That will lead companies to play a monopoly role instead of competition. I don't understand even when they say that the market is saturated. The sponsor of the bill, Will Campos, has no even ability to analyze and say he's not professional in this area to make that saturation level. He has no any means to prove that the taxi cab market is saturated, because before CB36, as a driver, we were on the street. The company has been duplicating 875 medallions, and there are gypsy medallion. Altogether, the number of the taxi in the county was more than what it is now. I would like to mention one article that was written by the Maryland Public Policy Institute. It says that big government hurting PG County cab drivers. It is a policy blog written by Mark Kilman. He just did a detail mentioned that Will Campos has no any capability to determine how many taxi is needed in the county. Second, we did an analysis of taxi demand in Prince George County, depending on the population development, and some south part of the county really have no good public transport system. There is no metro. That area really needs the taxi demand, and that all we considered the analysis, and now we came up more than 300. We actually demanded 911 taxi, but the task force that was established last year, they brought us to common ground, and we took what they gave us. We didn't even take what we demanded. So still there is biased and favorative move going on. We will continue our struggle. We're not going to stop. I just want to mention one special county council member, Karen Tolles.
Karen Tolles.
Tolles, yeah. Her district people really need a taxi service. She is voting, against their interest. That really makes us also. We need that area people to say stop doing this, because District 7, 8, 9. These were the county member last year strongly supported, because they need, their constituency needs taxi demand. And now that area is really weak in supporting our CB36. But still we demanding them to come back to understand the importance of CB36, to keep CB36 and stop CB3.
I want to return to Mary Lehman's piece in this morning's Washington Post. She writes, "While cab companies pay the county $200 per year per licensed vehicle, drivers who affiliate with those companies pay a staggering $335 per week, or about 50% of their earnings, to essentially rent the license from the corporate holder. This is extraordinary. $200 a year is what the companies pay for the license, and they turn around and rent it for $335 per week. This is the result of a few companies really having, I think she refers to it as a stranglehold on the industry."
Right. We increased this $100, and now it is $200. Before, for the last, I don't know how many years, since the company started getting their medallion, they used to pay $100 a year to renew their medallion. Just the new CB36 is now put $100 more. That's, we demanded them because we need the county also to make some, you know, money out of this industry and to serve the industry better way. What she said is right, and there is no, even when we ask the company breakdown of why they are charging $330. By the way, the same company renting 150 in DC, the Silver Cab has a VIP taxi in DC. They rent from 130 to 150 a week, but they rent in PG, they 330.
Where there's less business.
Yeah. What is that?
Where there's less business in Prince George's County,
yeah,
they're renting for more than double.
More than double, where there is less business in the county, and DC is better, I think, for the taxi services.
I want to play an interview I did with Tom Dernoga, the former council chair. This was June 21st at the hearing that was held on CB3 at the Prince George's County Council. He happened to be there, and I caught up with him afterwards. He was chair at the time that CB36 was pushed through unanimously, and so I want to play this interview with Tom Dernoga and get your response, get the two. Mangesha, here is former council, Prince George's County chair, Tom Dernoga. As the former chair of the Prince George's County Council, who helped shepherd through legislation that provided 390 medallions to drivers, what are your thoughts about CB3 and where things stand now?
I think it's an unfortunate rollback that seems to be focused by special interest. You had two or three people control the cab industry in the county, and our goal was to break the stranglehold by a handful of individuals who basically didn't want to see free enterprise and basically had no problem keeping people in poverty, you know, the drivers. And anybody who spoke out got punished, lost the ability to drive in the county. They basically were frozen because there's nobody else to go to. So we tried to break that stranglehold by putting out the additional medallions and creating some rules that prevented the monopolies from buying up the certificates we created. And the bill that's proposed essentially supports recreating monopolies and putting workers and drivers in a position of long-term poverty and retribution against anyone who speaks out against it.
The CB36, the bill that you helped push through, that was 390 medallions to drivers, that was passed unanimously by this body.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. I'm not sure what else to say. Yeah, it was passed unanimously. And I think a lot of the council members have been dealing with it over a period of 3 to 5 years and come to realize that there was a lot of harassment and intimidation of drivers, unconscionable business practices, and plenty of rumors of corruption that you just couldn't ignore. Particularly, a lot of suggestion that the Department of Environmental Resources look the other way at problems and complaints. And it was rather disturbing the way things were set up.
So what I'm confused about is if it's unanimously passed and it is the law right now, and they're called for 390 medallions to be issued, why haven't they been issued?
Well, in some respects, the drivers asked for some provisions so that in the long term would be helpful in terms of you had to have 2 years of driving in the county to qualify to be in the lottery for the first 390. And unfortunately, they shot themselves in the foot, and not 390 people appeared to qualify. So those apparently, the ones who were qualified, got certificates. And I think the CB3 bill would basically freeze it at that number, and then nobody else will be able to get a certificate, you know, for the next 20 years or something to that effect. When you do the math, why'd they do it? You know, you'd have to ask DER how they operate. Like I said, there's been a lot of allegations of corruption with DER. Don't know if it's true. But I know when I was on the council, we were concerned with the operations that were going on.
That was former Prince George's County Council Chair Tom Dernoga speaking at the Prince George's County Council on the hearing. Well, he just happened to be at the council, and this was the hearing on CB3, which we find out. I learned this morning in the Washington Post in Mary Lehman's piece that it may be voted on as early as Tuesday. We're speaking with Getachew Mengesha, who's one of the lead organizers with the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. Getachew, what are your thoughts about former Council Chair Tom Dernoga's comments?
He's our hero in the tax industry. He understood the problem, and he moved the issue to the last decision. We appreciate him, and what he said is what he did. He was the right person, and what he said is right. Let me add one thing: what the CB3 is now just being blind move in the county. Currently, there are 1,700 drivers. With face ID, that means almost more than a double of the medallion in the county. Still now, this new CB3 is trying to open up just giving this certificate. That means it will let the company to abuse the drivers by duplicating their medallion or kicking out anyone who has a different idea with the company. So back to your answer, what Mr. Tom Dernoga said is right. And I think the CB36 must be in place. CB3 must be stopped. Public has to understand we are not only working for ourselves. We're trying to be comprehensive. We are trying to give also another option for the public, like dispatching. Now Silver Cab is only controlling the dispatching. One dispatching in the county. Last year, when that dispatching was failed, the whole county was, closed. They don't have any service. We are now being the alternative dispatching, and we trying to be competitive to the company to give better service, which that's, I think, it is what is America.
Getachew Mengesha, you mentioned that it's a little bit confusing with former county executive Wayne Curry doing the lobbying and pushing things along. If it's really, it seems like there's a lot of confusing things here. And I spoke with Ron Smith also on June 21st. He heads up, as I understand it, the taxi board, Prince George's County Taxi Board. And it's quite an interesting interview. I want to play it here, because it does raise some questions. That's part of the executive branch, and they should be, as I understand it, I'm no constitutional scholar, but carrying out the law as it exists. And the law that exists is CB 36. CB 3 is a proposal. It has not passed, and so the medallions that have been called for should be issued. But as you'll hear, we'll take a listen to the interview, and I look forward to getting your thoughts. Your name?
Ron Smith.
Can you talk about your chair of the taxi board, your position on CB3?
CB3, we've worked on it for the last 2 years. I actually was appointed to the commission and the panel who came back and brought back some recommendations to the council. And the recommendation that the council went with that came from the commission was 400. But the board itself doesn't have a position other than to support the county executive and county council.
And right now, the legislation that's in effect, the CB36, which calls for 400 medallions to be released.
That's correct.
And so the position of the taxi board is to release those medallions?
No, the position of the board is to affirm what the council's position is on them, to let the 254 stand and take a look at the 100, I believe is 146, at a later date.
I thought the legislation that was passed was for 400 medallions to be released.
At that time, but the new bill, which I think is the Campbell's bill, is, I guess they're repealing the 146. So that's our position. We support the council's position or the bill by Campos that's being introduced to repeal the 146. And down the road, as the county executive's staff has indicated, that we can come back and take a look at it at a later date.
To be clear, CB 36 is the law, and the Campos bill is a proposal.
That's correct, as I understand it.
And so the position of the taxi commission, part of the executive branch, taxi board, would be to carry out the law, right?
Well, not necessarily to carry out the law. Our position is to take a look at what's best for the taxi industry in the county. And the way it looks is 254 seems to be enough at this point. There could be, as we have new development and new growth, we've got some Disney coming to National Harbor and stuff like that. So that's what they want to do. They want to wait 3 or 4 years, new development, and then come back and take a look at the rest of the numbers.
So just lastly, the CB 36 is the law. So the position of the Taxi Commission is, in fact, against what the D.C. Council, what the Prince George's County Council has passed.
That's correct. That would be correct.
Thank you so much. Right. That's Ron Smith. He heads up the Prince George's County Taxi Board. And you heard him say that the position of the executive branch is against what the Prince George's County Council has passed. Again, I'm no constitutional scholar, but something seems amiss here. This is WUST 1120 AM, Washington. You're listening to The Voice of DC Cab Drivers, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers, a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. And I'm in studio with Ali, who's a member of Dominion, as well as a member of the Small Business Association, and with Getachew Mengesha, a member of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. And Getachew, I wanted to get your response to Ron Smith's comments.
It's ridiculous what Mr. Ron Smith saying was. First of all, Ron Smith is not a legal tax board chairperson, because the law says that every 2 years, the tax board has to be elected by the executive and approved by the legislative branch. Mr. Ron Smith, as far as we know, he was been there for last more than 8 years, and he has no even agenda to agenda or meeting schedule. He has done nothing to the tax industry, and it is absolutely dysfunctional tax board. It must go, because we, as a taxi driver, we're supposed to be there. The CB 36 allows one single taxi owner or the driver has to be in the tax board, one from the industry, the rest from the public. This has not happened, because we gave our candidate to the county council. He did not even approve our candidate. And then they have now only three people for the last 8 years. They're not doing anything. What he's saying is nothing. I know he is pro-executive. He has to beg executive to get his salary.
This sounds somewhat familiar, Ali. A taxi commission, a taxi board, doesn't have the full regiment of members and doesn't have representation from drivers.
Well, it seems like the special interest is strong enough to keep the drivers off, because if they do that, they're going to be beneficiary of the rules and regulations that they are making in these taxicab commissions. Mr. Gray, Mayor Gray, have acknowledged that since the meters went in DC cabs, the law has been raised. Well, Mr. Mayor, we've been knocking on your door for the last 3 years and telling you, telling the city council, telling the former Mayor Fenty that, look, our rates have been the lowest in the country. Our income have been cut by about a third. Please do something about it. Unfortunately, all of our complaints and all of our communication with the city council and the mayor has gone nowhere. And this is sad that after 3 years, he recognizes that our rates are the lowest in the country, and we've been screwed. Well, that doesn't solve my problem right now. You know, each driver have lost about $10,000 of their income for the last 3 years, each year. What are we going to do about that? Is the mayor going to compensate the drivers for the loss of income?
You mentioned, Ali, that you know no one is listening, but what is clear to me is while drivers continue to suffer under these lowest rates in the country, that we are seeing the organizing pay off. From you heard in the interview that we played earlier, Mayor Gray say that he was opposed to the medallion bill. Well, that is, you know, not the initial position where he said he wasn't going to take a position. And that's the result of the organizing we see on issue after issue, you know, drivers speaking up. And get that you have been with the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance organizing, like the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers is doing in D.C. The Taxi Workers Alliance in Prince George's has been attending event after event. And, you know, it was not a coincidence that a year ago CB 36 passed unanimously. And, of course, there are setbacks. But can you talk about how much organizing went into laying the foundation for the passage of CB 36 and what your plans are regarding CB 3, the organizing behind that as well?
We started organizing drivers then, the public, and also the civic organizations, non-governmental organizations, churches, all these community activists, all together. That's what make our struggle stronger. Still, we are in this basket. We have the civic and the activists, churches, all that. We have to work together to stop this CB36. CB03. I just would like to say to the executive, if you want to move forward, stop CB3, and implement CB36, and then let independent experts do a study and bring up to his table a better way, if at all exists, than CB36. And then anyone can come up with something to improve if need is come. Because change is very important in the tax industry. We try to fix it. The CB36 is the best transition to better industry. Because in the tax company, still there are many, many forfeited taxes that making or laundering money and subleasing. And this taxi commission, we told them to look at it. They never did it. We told them, we put out two reports, very comprehensive reports, 2010 and again this year. The one that was prepared in 2009, the name is Injustice in Dispatch. And this one is Moving Million. It has strong meaning that related to the corruption, these forfeited taxes. We ask it, Will Campus, what you did before this CB36 came to law, when this company was doing this subleasing, corrupting, forfeit. These are illegal. The tax assessment of Maryland said 14 taxes companies must return their medallion back to Department of Environmental Resources. They never did it. Still, this forfeited more than 400 tax medallions are in the county making money. And this is, I think, illegal. Somebody outside must go and investigate.
Get that, Chimangesha. A lot of D.C. drivers listening to this show. Can you go into a little bit the nuts and bolts of what kind of community meetings you show up to and the kind of things you've done to organize drivers in Prince George's County?
My best advice is as a cab drivers, first they have to get united. They have to have one big goal that they are going to first solve. After they set that goal, they have to go to churches, community advocates, and present their issues. This is what we need. How can you help us to do this? Then they can go together to the elected officials. A cab driver by himself is not enough. The public has to support. They have to get some, you know, outreach to the public. And then this group together lobby the legislative groups in the D.C. That will bring best solution by preparing something, a better bill for cab drivers.
You are regularly, and others who are part of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance, attending political functions and other civic functions,
exactly.
Reaching out to others, with PRISM and CASA de Maryland.
Exactly. Yeah.
Talk a bit more about that.
We go anytime when they have their event. We mobilize our drivers to give a ride to the senior people who needed a ride to come to meeting. If there is election, we mobilize drivers to go to the campaign and give ride, free ride to the senior people or anyone who needs a ride. Also, we go to the church when there is big event. We go there and then we ask them if they need a ride. We give them ride. And also, we give our opinion. Currently, we are involved in building One Maryland, which is very strong coalition. That includes all the Maryland churches, civic organizations, and our role is to give our input to all the activities in this building, One Maryland.
Tuesday, potentially, is the vote on CB3, although there was some thought that maybe on June 21st, the Prince George's County Council was going to vote on CB3 then, but there was quite a lot of media attention. And maybe that was a reason, or maybe another reason they didn't vote on June 21st. So I guess there's nothing definite, nothing. It doesn't seem like the most transparent process from an inexpert, my inexpert point of view. But what would you like people listening, drivers, to know? Would you, if people are able to show up at the Prince George's County Council, assuming they will be voting on it on Tuesday, what would you like folks to know about Tuesday's potential vote, and any final thoughts you have, Getta Chimangesha?
For the drivers, that's their last time to show up and show the county councils to vote against the bill. For this, there is a need for all drivers to be Upper Marlboro in the morning. We will have public action in front of the administration building from 8 to 9:30. Then we will go inside at 10, then voting will be by 10. For the other public who are listening to the radio, it's very important for them to go there and tell the county councils that they elected to work for them, not to just to make the companies happy. Companies already, they have money for last many years, they are rich. I think all the county councils also, they have to vote for work for the people, not for someone, only one person, rich man. That's not fair for pushing the drivers back to slavery. This is very important. And also public, I mean, other civic organizations, as they always do, I invite them to come to there and show up. If we get a chance, we can also speak out. And my message is, it is good to do best thing to move the county together forward. Even Mr. Becker stops is CB3.